is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Next on News for the Soul, your spiritual life with Raymond Posch.
Raymond is a life mastery coach, writer, speaker, and host of the Spirituality Beckoning podcast. His book, Awakening to Wholeness, is a record of his exploration into spirituality and his personal awakening. As an avid speaker, his mission is to share his knowledge and help others to awaken to oneness and to make a positive difference in the world. Let's welcome Raymond back to News for the Soul.
Hello and welcome all to another episode of Our Spiritual Life. And boy, I've had a run of so many good guests on this show. We've just talked about so many different things, and so it's going to be that way again today. My guest is Kate Hartsong, and she's a confidence coach, a speaker, author, Reiki master, and I'm sure she does many more things than that, but that's going to give us plenty to talk about today. And I'm looking forward to this conversation. Kate, welcome to the show.
It's so wonderful to be here, Raymond. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, great. Well, the way I really start is I let you introduce yourself, you know, tell the audience about yourself and what you are doing today. And we'll take it from there. So go ahead, be my guest.
Thank you, thank you. Well, I'll just share very briefly the background that has given me so much passion to do what I'm doing today. And my passion is just to really empower people to know their greatness and to know that they can make change both in their life and also on the planet. So it started, you know, when I was a child. Unfortunately, it was a traumatic childhood, but maybe not so unfortunate because there's been so many gifts from it. And essentially, I had no confidence, lots of shame. I did not think I was worthy, so much that so many people, you know, grow up with, as you know. Right. Many of us have had very difficult lives, traumatic experiences, and I did as well. And also at the age of 2, I was a curious toddler, and as toddlers are, and I ended up falling out of a window, a story and a half high. And as a result, I lost most of my hearing.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like, that's just what happened. And so that was part of the drama of my childhood, that I couldn't hear. And back then, they didn't really have the type of hearing aids available for me with that type of hearing loss. So I grew up with a lot of shame and a lot of feeling alone. But thankfully, in my 20s, well, right after high school, actually, I got my own pair of hearing aids, and thank goodness for hearing aids. Now I can, you know, I can hear.
Yes.
So I, you know, naturally I wanted to make a change in my life. The pain was too difficult. So in my early 20s, but even more so in my 30s, I did a lot of personal work, and I did, you know, like psychotherapy and EMDR and just a lot of attending workshops, reading self-help books, and just did a lot of work and really got tapped into my connection with spirit or God. And so over the years, I've become so much more the person I am meant to be, very confident. And I'm just, you know, feel good in my skin. I feel like I'm worthy. And like that, I know everyone else is worthy. So this is giving me the impetus to become what I call myself, the confidence coach, where I can certainly, because I've been there, done that, but also I am living proof. I'm living proof that I can and others can transcend the difficulties of childhood and shame and whatever emotions we had. And so that's where I came up with being the confidence coach. So I coach my clients with that or other life issues that they might have. And then also, about 20 years ago, in deep meditation, one particular time, I had this sense of these beautiful words coming to me. And I was drawn and guided to grab a pen and paper and start writing, actually, Raymond, word for word, these beautiful words of wisdom and guidance. And as a result, it was just so loving. And at first I didn't trust it, but I came to trust it and be able to distinguish the loving words of my guides versus the ego. And so I was able to then get all this amazing information that turned into my first book back in 2010 called Deeply We Are One. And this book essentially helps us to realize our greatness. And in doing so, we recognize that better in others. And we can also better recognize the interconnection of life. And then a few years later, the same thing happened. Spirit guided me, writing another book. And I'm so honored. It took many years to put it together. But I'm so honored to be like the messenger of this vital information of my newest book called Humanity's Cry for Change, and the subtitle, Actions You Can Take to Create a New Earth. And I'll just summarize by saying I never imagined myself as an author. But Raymond, you know, I just went with my inner guidance, as we know on this show, how important that is. So that brings me to what I'm doing today as an author and a speaker and a coach, doing what I love doing this. So thank you.
Very good. Well, you know, I want to back up there. I want to talk about your books and several other things that you've brought up, but let's back up just a minute. Led you into your spiritual path?
Very good question. I think like for so many people, a huge, big shift, difficulty and pain really led me to that. Kind of started in my 20s, where I started, you know, doing the work, the inner work to release the old pain. But it was a really big jump when I was divorced about 20 years ago, going through a difficulty in my marriage. And it just led me to various awakenings and awarenesses that I could do better with myself. And so I had the courage to make that change and ask for the divorce. And it was difficult because I had, at the time, two young children. You know, they're grown up now, but you know how, you know, many of us know, what's it like? We know what it's like to go through such difficulty and to tear up the family. But in my gut feeling did tell me it was the right thing to do. And when I look back, I realized, boy, it's a good thing I did, because that did force me. And it was, you know, how pain can create that impetus for us to make change. And that's what happened with me. So that kind of sped things up on my journey.
Okay.
And
so you were looking for answers, and kind of at another level, you were looking for guidance for your life. Is that right?
That's so true. Well put. Looking for answers and knowing that this feeling of unhappiness during my last years of my marriage was not the way it should be. Plus there were things, I mean, he's a wonderful man, but I realized later that it was verbal abuse. And so it was really good to get out so that then even jump up higher into a more healthy self-esteem. And not only that, but model it for my children. Hey, this is not a good way to be treated by somebody.
Right.
You know, so yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do some exploration of all the things that you're doing and where you come from today. Because I know, you know, I've read some of the material on your website. I've not read your books, but definitely you've made statements that I'm totally in sync with, and I want to explore that a bit for the benefit of our audience. But let's start with the confidence coaching that you're doing now. I mean, how do you approach that with a client?
In general, it is a slightly different with every client, but in general, through our coaching, I help them realize that it really is essential and it's okay to care and love themselves, or at least get themselves to a place of liking themselves. And we work on, there's so many different, very simple tools to use to build confidence, you know, and it often may take more than just simple tools, but the simple tools are a great way to get started. For example, one very simple tool, but really effective, is to write down 3 to 5 things about ourselves that we can acknowledge. And these don't have to be big things. For example, it could be, I made the dinner for my family last night. Or even though I don't like my job, I keep showing up. Or acknowledge myself for being available for a friend. So I encourage my clients to write 3 to 5 things daily. And this does a couple of things. One, it does help them to focus on what good is going on in their life. Mm-hmm. And we know when we focus on something, it gets bigger. And then another purpose is to really help them see and recognize, oh, I am doing good things. And as we do this, it really builds up. It's like an accumulative effect when we can just really focus on that. And then there's several other exercises depending on the client. And so, you know, just talking through and then, you know, as I'm sure you're very well aware, coaching, of course, is a different modality than psychotherapy.
Yes.
And so I'm, of course, very mindful of that line between psychotherapy, which I don't go to because I'm not licensed.
Right.
And so we don't look at the history of what caused this and that. You know, we don't look at why are you with low confidence or, you know, but we do look at what can you do to build it up.
Mm-hmm.
And really help them to really anchor into knowing the greatness of who they are. And I kind of hesitate with that because I realize it's not always easy, you know,
right.
But it takes a lot of consistency and work. And sometimes people need a psychotherapist or a counselor in addition to coaching. But yeah, I've had good success with clients feeling much more empowered and more in the confidence and realizing they are okay, just like anyone else. They also deserve good things.
Right. You know, that's a very good point that you've made, though, because probably many people do have some confusion about the difference between a coach and a therapist. And, you know, so much of therapy, as I understand it, I've never had to use a therapist myself, but they do tend to focus on the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and some of the releasing of old emotions, old memories can be a very good thing, but coaching focuses on producing results, changes right now.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. That's one of the benefits is producing results. So what is the client's goal? And through powerful coaching questions, the client will then gain insight, more insight on, well, what is important? What is their goal? And then we also work around what specific action steps work for the client. You know, it's always client-led. I don't tell the client what to do, but I'll let them know what their options are,
right,
if that's the situation that is needed. Or I'll just ask them powerful questions, which coach does. I'm a certified life coach as well as a certified financial coach.
Wow.
We are trained to ask those questions in a way, you know, that gives the insight and clarity,
yes,
that the client can come up with because they're really the expert on their life. So I share that with the clients as well. Let them know. Sometimes I'll have to ask some deep questions or whatever to clarify within yourself. So it's really beneficial.
Yeah, the power of good questions is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I had training as a life coach myself and certification. And that is such an important thing. And, you know, even on the side of spirituality, the teacher Michael Beckwith.
Oh, yeah.
He is one who points out, you know, how important it is to ask powerful questions in getting in touch with our inner spirit and the higher consciousness.
Yeah.
And so good questions I've learned are so powerful. Okay.
Well,
if I might
interrupt, I really thank you, Raymond, for bringing up that point on the side of spirituality, because asking questions on the side of spirituality, it gives the energy to the universe, and it's so powerful. So thank you. I mean, yes, powerful in coaching, but also putting it out there to the universe, because when we ask, we receive, right?
Yes, that's right. And we're talking about, you know, and I think all the people listening are in touch with us at some level, but the universe is filled with infinite intelligence.
Yeah.
And we can have communication with that intelligence, but it requires opening up in the right way and listening and asking questions as a part of that conversation. That's now that you pointed that out, that's something that I've not specifically talked about on my shows before, but I think that is something that is very valuable. And a lot of spiritual coaches, you know, recognize that and talk about, like one of the practices, and I've forgotten the coach that I heard it from, but had a technique of that called SIP, S-I-P, sit in presence.
Oh,
and then as you sit in presence and go deeper into that, then explore that by asking questions. And certain powerful questions, you know, can really make a difference. You know, like what, how can I be of greatest value to the world today? Or, you know, something like that.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So now I'd like to, and before we go off on to other paths here, I'd like to ask a little bit about I know you're a Reiki master and you do Reiki work with clients as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that. For whatever reason, I've never had the experience of using a Reiki practitioner, but I did have the experience with something a little bit similar that was called the Oneness Blessing. Did you ever hear of that?
Yeah. I am familiar with that Oneness Blessing.
And yeah. I received that, and I've forgotten the name of the term that they use for the practitioner, but placed her hands on my head, and I felt this incredibly powerful, warm, I mean, I could say hot energy flowing into me. And I think that's very similar to what can happen with Reiki as well. Is that right?
It's similar, yes. It's the same in the regard of this transference of the universal life force energy, which we call here chi, mm-hmm. Can also be called, Reiki, R-E-I, means universal life force. And then chi, K-I, is a Japanese way of saying energy.
Mm.
So chi or ki or prana, and that's what it is. It is the universal life force energy that gives life to all of life,
mm-hmm.
humans, animals, people, creepy creepy crawlers. Try to say that fast three times. That's a tongue twister, but creepy crawlers, yes.
So, and, go ahead.
So I am actually not, I am a Reiki master teacher, but I don't actually do that currently as part of my business.
I
still, you know, when I did, and I mean, I still do occasionally with friends, or I'll do long distance healings, you know, just to support a friend or a family member.
Hmm.
Essentially, it is the transference through the practitioner of the chi energy and through the hands and actually even the eyes. Through the hands, the Reiki practitioner then gently places the hand on any part of the body that they're guided to go to. And one of them is like your oneness blessing experience, putting it on the head. And yes, warmth feeling is very common. And it's the, and I'm even feeling it now in the palms of my hands as I speak about it. But yeah, it's just the sweet grace, in my opinion, the grace of more chi energy coming through. And its purpose essentially is to help to release blocks of energy that's stuck. And also it helps on an emotional as well as mental, physical, and spiritual level. So it works on all levels of our being. And if anyone's interested, they can look at the Google Reiki or even my website, joyfulradiance.com. The Reiki is R-E-I-K-I. And it's a loving, wonderful modality. Yeah, I feel very honored to be sharing this. Yeah. I used to teach it years ago, but since COVID, I'm not teaching it anymore.
Okay. And so the world communicating via made a difference, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I would like to go to your first book, Deeply We Are One. And you touched a little bit on what the book is, but I know that, that name to me very much refers to oneness. And, yeah. And I talk about wholeness in a very similar way. Talk a little bit more about that and how, you know, what you know about oneness and you know, something that I haven't asked a guest to do this, but at least recently, you had mentioned on your website something about the science that proves how we are interconnected. And and I've not talked about that science aspect just recently. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I'll share a little bit about my book, which really leads, as you know, right into the concept of oneness. And then I'll share scientific study. There's so many scientific studies, but Deeply We Are One is in essence really, like you say, you can tell by the title, it is very much about the interconnection of life. And again, like I mentioned, as we can recognize the greatness within us, and we can do that through many of the exercises that book offers, and it kind of really is very similar to what I do with my confidence coaching, excuse me. And then again, when we can better recognize our greatness naturally, I mean, this is a universal law. We can then better see it in others. So I'm going to digress just briefly to a great point. You know, all of us have probably admired someone, maybe a close friend or a relative, and there's some things about them. Oh, I really love their confidence, or I love the way they talk, or whatever it is. When we see that in another, we actually have it in ourselves. It's just the nature of oneness. It's the nature of interconnection. And on the shadow side, the same thing happens.
Mm.
Let's say a coworker really bugs us and we get triggered and we don't like the way they're showing up or they're controlling whatever. We see that for the same reason. It's that attribute is within us. So recognizing how we see others can be a big insight to how we see ourselves. What is within me is what I can see on the outside. So yeah, the book goes into that a little bit, as well as many different exercises, just to help build the confidence and feeling better. Then yes, the whole idea of the interconnection of life. And the way it works is, on a most basic elemental level, everything is energy. Quantum physics has proved this time and time again. It is not the old Newtonian physics. It just doesn't recognize. I mean, Newtonian physics thinks the atom is the smallest part and the parts of the atom. But in fact, quantum physics has shown that everything is energy. And so there's like this interpenetrating field of energy that ebbs and flows. And it's like a field. It's a huge field. Actually, in truth, all of everything, all of the universe, whether it's an individual person or it's the planets or the galaxies and stars billions of miles away, everything is energy. Also know that our thoughts and our words and our actions are powerful. They are energy as well. And this is why we can create what we want. Or, well, create, if we can create on a conscious level. Some of us don't realize that our thoughts are so powerful. So we talk a little bit about that as well in the book. And this is a lot in my current book, Humanity's Cry for Change. Oh. So both of them really do talk about the oneness and interconnection of life. So essentially, yes, some people know this as the matrix, the web, the field, and it's just everything is energy. So in this regard, everything is connected. So for example, Greg Braden, in his book, The Divine Matrix, he cites several really great scientific experiments. And I might also add Lynn Mataggart, and also an extraordinary author. Yeah, you know her. Yeah, I mean, yes. You know her, or maybe you know her, but
I don't know her personally, but I've read several of her books, and yes. I've not read that book by Greg Braden, but I'm familiar with his teachings. And in fact, I'm watching a program by him. I think it's tomorrow evening. Through Humanity's team, about some of the newer discoveries that have been made in science. So it continues to grow. I mean, actually, I could almost say that it's gotten to a point, you know, this isn't universally true, like for all scientists that understand this or even believe it. But many more scientists now do understand it and have researched it. And they continue to learn how powerfully interconnected the universe is. I mean, it's not just people even. It is the whole foundation of the universe, it's the way it's put together. And what you're saying, you know, is quite right. But go on. You were talking about Greg and Lynn.
Yeah. And Lynn Mataggart, in her book, The Field, also cites many incredibly amazing scientific studies. But I'll share from Greg Braden's book, The Divine Matrix, this study that was done in 1993 by the U.S. Army. And what they did is they wanted to see if the DNA in a person who was alive, the live subject, they wanted to see if the DNA that they took from this person would react at the time that this person is subjected to different emotions. You know, I don't recall how they did it, if it was a screen and they showed it, but they subjected this volunteer person to various emotions. And they found that at the very instant, this is so amazing, Raymond, to me it is, like, at the very instant that this person had an emotional reaction, the DNA in the next room had an electric response. So it shows that the distance, even though that DNA was not connected physically to the person, still had a response. And they also did the same study where the DNA was placed 350 miles away. And it's the same thing. Distance just did not matter. When the person was subjected to any kind of emotion, the DNA at that very instant also responded. So, and then there's other studies too. And then we all have experience, like, you know, we might be thinking of someone suddenly pops into our head, and sure enough, they call us a couple hours later.
Right.
Or the mother that has a sense that something's wrong with her child, only to learn later that day that a child got into an accident. Or, you know, long distance healing.
Right.
All of this represents the interconnectivity of life.
Right.
And then, of course, so much with the quantum physics. A lot of studies have been put on this.
Yeah. Greg Braden and Lynn McTaggart, she's been involved in many studies that involve the quantum field. Like Greg Braden and others talk a lot about the universe as holographic.
Yeah.
And that is a part of it as well, because if all of the universe is in every part of the universe, which is what holographic means, then that automatically relates it too, you know.
Yes.
So it's a matter of levels, if you will, of what you want to focus on. But the technical scientific understanding of how interrelated we are continues to grow and grow and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, I guess I could say that, you know, not just consciousness, but love is an interconnecting power as well. So,
yes, totally.
But
I personally believe that too. Yeah.
I believe that helping people understand the pervasiveness or the truth of oneness, how interconnected we are. If people could get past that illusion that we are all separate, that, you know, and just, you know, looking at it in the physical world, we don't immediately see that interconnection. I mean, we look like, you know, I and my body is completely separate from you and your body. But if more people would begin to understand that, then they would. That opens the door to understanding that God or the universal power, whatever term you want to use, is within all of us and and connects all of us.
Yeah.
And if we really understood that, we begin to shift our relationship to the world, which brings us to your newest book.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Your newest book is Humanity's Cry for Change. And, you know, since COVID, I think that's become so pronounced. Do you agree?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. I think there's a lot of people who are, I mean, it's quite evident. There are a lot of people in deep pain. There are many others who are not, but, you know, like light workers, you and I. Now, this is my personal opinion. We know the truth. In my opinion, you said it so well, Raymond. Love is the answer and love is the connection. When we can be in a higher state of love or gratitude, have a higher sense of vibration, this really helps. But there are so many people in pain who don't know what I believe is truth, and what the universal truth is, and what quantum physics is proving, there are some people maybe just awakening. As we know, there's a full range of spectrum. Some who are just awakening, some who are not awakening at all. They're still in the old paradigm. And of course, wherever they are, it's just fine. But nonetheless, yes, there are so many people who are like, what's going on? Why is nothing working for me? Why am I so anxious all the time? Why am I frustrated all the time? And so my book, yeah, Humanity's Cry for Change, addresses what is the reason there's so much chaos and unhappiness, not just individually, but globally, and what can we do about it? And the good news is there are very specific things we can do to address this. And so it's very, in my mind, it's a very hopeful book, you know.
Like yourself, and I love that you've written a book about it, and I'm going to have to find some time to get your book and read it. But there are many spiritual coaches now, or spiritual teachers, that are talking more and more about this, because the, as you call it, the pain is so prevalent now, so obvious. I mean, and I don't think I normally use the word pain, but it is a totally valid word to use. You know, yeah. We see everything that we believe is wrong in the world, the inequality, the violence, the level of disrespect among people is so great.
Yeah.
It's troubling. It's disturbing. You know, you're right. It is painful. And people don't know what to do with it.
Right. Exactly.
We have to look, and people have to look for ways of seeing the world and our relationship to the world.
Yeah.
In a different way, in a way that empowers us instead of disempowers us.
Exactly.
So it sounds like that's exactly what you talk about in your book.
Yes, it is. And how important we do. I will share one of the several key concepts that are really important. Truthfully, Raymond, very important for us to just even survive as a species. I mean, it's that serious. I think many of us will agree that with that. One of the most key concepts that this book, one of several key concepts of this book, is how important it is that we do our own inner work. To doing this inner work so that the pain, the low vibrational energies of anger, jealousy, frustration, depression, etc., can be released. But in order to do that, we have to do our inner work. And it's not easy, but it is possible. I mean, I'm living proof, as many are, who have been able to transcend the difficult, painful childhood situations or things that are carried into adulthood. So it's really important to do our own inner work. I know that's easier said than done, but could you imagine, Raymond, and I asked your audience, can you imagine what if 500 people in your community did their own inner work? What if 500,000? What if 5 million people do their inner work? What if you're talking, 100 million people do their inner work? Because we are all interconnected, when we do our own work, healing and loving ourselves and higher respect for ourselves, all of that goes to the collective consciousness. And this is where the shift is happening on the planet. And this is actually why I'm very hopeful that change can be made, but it has to happen. One of the key things is to do our own inner work and to do that in a way that's right for that person. It could be a various things that they do. Maybe just coaching, or maybe they need some trauma therapy. Whatever it is, do our own inner work and not to be a victim, to stop. Some people are in the attitude of victimhood, and I just want to empower people to know it's through our thoughts, our words, our actions that create our reality. Mm-hmm. I also know it's much easier for some and it's not so easy for others, but it is possible. So the book does talk of, again, it has simple exercises on what we can do, but some people may need more than just those simple exercises
right.
to do our own personal work.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard about it, but Patricia Albert is a spiritual teacher, and she's doing some incredible work. I had her on the show a month or two ago in unity consciousness.
Oh.
Because and that's unity consciousness at a much more profound level. I mean, even when we do our inner work, most of us are still operating in our own consciousness. We don't, you know, 100% understand what another person is thinking, you know, how they are relating to the world. We, you know, we can read their emotions perhaps, et cetera. But she's doing work in leading people into unity consciousness that breaks those barriers down.
That's wonderful to
hear. Really incredible stuff that she's doing. But, you know, you're totally right, though. I mean, everything that you've said is very important and very good reasons why we need to do that inner work or, you know, to seek to achieve our own inner spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, awakening is really, you know, finally realizing at a deep level, knowing, not just conceptually, but experientially, that we are a part of the universe at such a deep level that we are a part of the divine itself.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And
well said.
And we could spend time talking here. I don't want to overemphasize the negative side of what is happening in the world, but I do think people do need to see that all of our social systems are based on the idea of separation.
Yes.
You know, our whole everything in the world right now is based on that. And in order to change it, yes, we have to do the inner work. And we're also going to see a lot of disturbance and chaos in the world in the process in order for change to really happen.
Precisely.
You know, things have to break down in order to be rebuilt.
Absolutely.
And so the more people work now on really getting in touch with oneness and knowing themselves and how they relate to the world is very important, I think, right now. And more spiritual teachers are saying that.
And my book is talking just about that as well, that
okay.
in order for the new to come in, the old needs to be dismantled. But how does it get dismantled? It gets dismantled by first coming up into our conscious awareness to be aware of what's going on. And we're really seeing a lot of that on the planet now. You know, there's stuff happening in the finance world. Cryptocurrency and blockchain is coming to be much more prevalent. And even, you know, economies are shifting. So whether it's on a global level or on an individual basis, yeah, I'm sure many of people can relate to something in their life is breaking down.
Right.
And hopefully they're in a place of awareness that maybe this thing breaking down is okay. And I don't need this anymore. It doesn't serve me anymore.
Right.
So, yes.
But it's interesting to see what is, you know, beginning to show up in the world more and more.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, if particularly for people, if they haven't done that inner work, they don't have a way of responding to the accelerating change that's happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, one example I'm thinking of right at the moment is this you know, I think the word is a bit misused, but this word wokeness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, is people becoming more aware and recognizing it in themselves and perhaps then changing as a result.
But
what's that is so disturbing to some people that they are fighting that word, fighting that idea.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's for, I would say, kind of the wrong reasons. They don't know how else to respond except to say, oh, well, that can't be good. It's shaking things up too much.
Exactly. You know, that reminds me of a great analogy, if I could share. It's from my book, my most recent book, Humanity's Cry for Change, that kind of describes what you were just sharing. And it's the analogy, I call it the greenhouse analogy. So, you know, when there's a greenhouse, and plants are thriving when the plants have adapted to the certain humidity level, the certain temperature, and even the amount of the heat. And plants that have adapted do very well. But if there's a shift in one of those elements in the greenhouse, if the plant does not adapt, it's not going to do well. Well, you know what, Raymond? The planet Earth is like a greenhouse right now. Mm-hmm. We have so many shifts and energetic changes happening right now. And those people who are resisting the change of higher vibration and the energy of more light coming into the planet, or they're resisting the old paradigm, maybe the old banking system or whatever it is that they're resisting, they are actually rubbing up against the new environment. And in rubbing up against it does not feel good. But those people in this greenhouse analogy or Mother Earth that will adapt to the change, and I'm talking changes in vibration, the changes in frequency of a vibration of a certain thing. When we can adapt to that, it's actually is much smoother and easier to deal with. And we are then in resonance with the level of vibration that is now happening on the planet. So those of us who are not in resistance, who know what's going on, you know, the light workers, you and I, the work that we're doing, we recognize that having higher level of vibrations, which means higher level of emotions like love and kindness and respect, harmony, collaboration. When we can be in this state more often, more as our status quo, it makes us more in alignment with the shift that's actually happening on the planet as a whole. Mm-hmm. Part of it is Mother Earth. Part of it is the collective consciousness. So anyway, I love that analogy. Again, Spirit gave it to me to share in this book, you know, as I was doing my automatic writing when I was first channeling this information. So I think the analogy is really a good lesson for us to keep in mind. For those of us who can, let's try to stay in a place of the love. Focus on that beautiful word you shared with us, Raymond, love.
Right.
Being in the higher vibration and gratitude. And that brings us into the higher frequencies that are needed to bring in the new earth.
Right. I think in what you just said is very right on, very important. I think one thing about higher vibration and higher level of consciousness that people need to understand is that it's not something that just you do something and you automatically raise your consciousness or your vibration up to the next big level, whatever that is. No, it's usually a stepwise process. You have to practice. You
That's
have
so
to
true.
Do it more and more. And build it up over time.
Yeah.
You can't, except with very few exceptions of of people who have had these major awakenings where they make a big shift all at once. Most of us make shifts in little steps and have to keep growing that way. But what you just said is we all have to keep working on that. I talk about shifting from the ego, which is based in separation.
Yes.
And doing that by shifting to a state of love, thinking about love, changing into a more emotionally positive state of love. All of those things contribute to that kind of growth.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, it's so true. And, I also like to remind my audiences and my clients, everything you said is so spot on, Raymond. But what I like to also add is, yes, raising our vibration is incremental. It doesn't just happen. But also to not stuff any upsets or emotions that are of lower vibration. We are human. I mean, we're spiritual beings, but we do have a human body. So when there is an upset, it's okay. Recognize it, acknowledge it. But then don't focus on it, because then that's going to make it bigger.
Right.
Acknowledge it, and in acknowledging it, it helps to dissipate and take it away, and then get back using tools to get us into that higher level of vibration.
Right.
One great tool is focusing on the gratitude. What am I grateful for? Or what is my blessing that I can focus on? And that'll help raise the vibration into a higher frequency. And that makes us into a higher consciousness. So feel the emotions, embrace them, acknowledge them, and then let them go.
Right.
Then from that, we can raise our vibration using our various soothing techniques or so many tools that we have that we can then raise that frequency of vibration.
Yes, very good. Yeah, you said a couple of key words there. We need to recognize and feel the negative emotion or the negative thoughts that we're experiencing and acknowledge those and where they're coming from. And then we can release those. We can shift to a positive counterpart like love.
Yeah.
And that's a good way of doing that. Very
yeah.
good.
It's a good way to live.
All right. Well, we're about out of time here. Any final words that you would like to say to our audience? And also be sure to give them your website again.
All right. Well, my final words would be, whatever you can do, please realize the greatness and brilliance of who you are. Totally, there are so many good, beautiful things about you that is okay and necessary to embrace. And then when you can do this, you live more in a place of authenticity. So I encourage your listeners to just embrace their greatness. And I'm open if anyone would like a complimentary coach session. Please contact me at my website. It's joyfulradiance.com, joyfulradiance.com. And I'm very honored to offer a complimentary session, or they can get a once a month uplifting article by opting into my e-newsletter. And I'm just very honored to just support anybody. And I've just really the confidence-building articles, as well as other type of uplifting articles, are on my website. And last, yes, you can check out my books either on my website or on Amazon.
All right.
So thank you.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for being here today. This has been a very enjoyable conversation.
Yes.
I love the way that you help simplify some of these ideas and help people recognize ways that they can do simple things to really make a change. And those are so important. I mean, we have to work together to change the world. Yeah,
we do indeed.
So thank you again. And
thank you so much. It's been wonderful.
And as some of my guests have pointed out to me or ended up by saying namaste, namaste.
Namaste, yes, indeed. Absolutely.
All right. Well, to all my listeners, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation as much as I have, and I hope you are taking away some new understandings that make a difference in your life. Thank you for being with us today. Have a great day and a great life.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.